We're starting to get back close to normal for attendance, and that's good to see. It's good to have visitors with us, and we appreciate the fact that you've chosen to come and be with us this morning. At the first of the year, I presented a lesson that was dealing with the idea of unity and fellowship, and that was just at the end of the year and the beginning of the year to kind of set the tone. What I'm going to do this morning is begin a year-long look at spiritual growth. The idea that if we as a congregation really zoom in on the importance of spiritual growth within our individual lives, it's going to have effects in other aspects of our lives as well. And so what I wanted to do this morning is examine the idea of growth in our lives, of what's involved in growth within our lives. And I put a couple of pictures up there. One is as we begin to sow, and another is ultimately the idea of reaping, and that is the goal for us, each and every one of us, as we deal with this. There are certain things that are involved in the idea of growth within our lives. Let me get this set. Well, every time I think I've got this conquered, it tries to prove otherwise to me. Here's what's involved in growth. Soil preparation. Centuries ago, people learned that you don't just go out and throw seed out in the middle of the field and expect anything good to come from it. You prepare the soil. And then after you prepare the soil, then you begin the planting process. And that's what the picture above is showing in a large field as the tractor is pulling the various aspects of what's involved in plowing and sowing. And after that, you want to follow up by certainly being willing to and able to fertilize the seed that's been sown. And that's going to add to the benefits for those who are sowing. And then, of course, you're going to hope the atmosphere is right so that you've got the good weather that's going to allow the right amount of rain, the right amount of sunshine. And the end result after that is going to be that you'll have a harvest. What we want to do this morning is look at what's involved in having that harvest within our lives as a congregation. What the result is for that spiritual growth. We need to begin by recognizing the fact that it is a process that takes place within our lives. If you'd like to open your Bibles, and I walked off without the Bible too. I need to have a lesson on being prepared someday. I still haven't found my outline on this, so might as well just set it aside. How about, why did the screen go blank? Probably I did something. There. Okay. Open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, if you would, please. We're going to look at some things there in Hebrews chapter 5 that's going to help us with this whole idea of growth within our lives going into the 6th chapter also. And I'll be reading from the ESV this morning, though there will be New King James on the screen from time to time. But let's read together, beginning at verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 5, and continuing on into the 6th chapter in verse 2. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a babe, a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant patience to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. There are some things in this particular text that we're going to bring over in our application here for the next few minutes. And the first principle I think that we see there, and the teaching and the acceptance of the first principles. It is good that we grow to the point where we can get into really meaty things and understand those meaty things. And it should be the desire of every child of God to do just that, to be involved in those meaty things. However, there's nothing wrong with wanting to also step back and make sure we have the first principles clearly understood within our lives. Because if we don't, oftentimes we may try to absorb some meatier thing, and because we didn't undergird it with basic understanding of some biblical principles, it ends up kind of falling on its own weight. And when that happens, the idea of spiritual growth becomes much more difficult. So one of the challenges that I hope that each one of us will accept in the coming year is to be willing to go back very briefly at times, or even more detailed if necessary, and look at some of the basic principles that God has given with regard to our salvation, with regard to our relationship with Jesus Christ, with regard to the idea of where does biblical authority come from, with regard to the idea of whether or not we are justified in reasonably believing in the existence of God. Very basic things, I think, is really important that we from time to time do a double check on. Now, what the Hebrew writer was warning against here was the idea that individuals just completely were sticking themselves in those basic things and not coming out further. And what I'm suggesting to us this morning is that we as a congregation, we as individuals within the congregation, be willing to go back and look at some basics, review them within our own minds, and then continue to move on. And that should be a challenge for each one of us, so that we have, as part of our process, we have that sense of the ability to be able to grow as God wants us to grow. I think another thing that we'll find within this text is the idea that it is going to take time. Each of us needs to invest ourselves in time with regard to what we're doing with and for this congregation. I think one of the areas that you can ask yourself with regard to time and spiritual growth might be, how much time do you put into the material that we're trying to cover in the Gospel of John about the life of Jesus? Whether it's just a moment on Sunday morning before getting to the building, or simply waiting until you get to the building and hear what's going on. Were there times that you spent in deliberation and contemplation about the Gospel of John Thursday, Friday, Saturday in relation to this morning? What you'll look at maybe Sunday afternoon or Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in relation to the Wednesday night study as we continue this? All of these are part of what's necessary to produce the kind of Christian we should all want to be. And if we can just very briefly continue our analogy with regard to the idea of sowing and reaping as far as a harvest is concerned, a farmer might be concerned, every crop that he plants requires time. Every seed that he puts into the ground requires time. And we need to be willing to give ourselves time for the development of those things that are important to us spiritually. discernment, trained by consistent practice to distinguish good from evil. You put the time into learning. You put the time into understanding what it's about. Well, what's also necessary then is to take that understanding and bring it around to the point of being willing and able to apply it to our lives, to make application. If we're willing to make application, then all of that time in study has been beneficial and profitable to each and every one of us. We also are going to find that as Christians, we are looking to find ourselves... Hold on a minute. Let me say to our visitors, it doesn't always go this well. Sometimes it goes poor. Continual application is the next point I want to make. And that means simply that we exercise. We exercise to do the things that are going to take all that knowledge of the Word into our lives. And as we come across challenges, we're going to see those challenges and we're going to have God's Word to guide us, to build us up, and to do the things that are important within our lives, within our spiritual growth. And then ultimately, what we're going to find is that it helps us to have that proper discernment. We're able to understand the difference between right and wrong. And then eventually, what we have is a completeness or a perfection within our lives. And that's the process as we're looking at this lesson this morning. The second point that I would want to make is in relation to the atmosphere. In the farming life, it's the idea of the weather and all the aspects of weather, rain, etc. For us, I think it's important to look at passages like Ephesians, the fourth chapter. If you'd like to open your Bibles back to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verse 2 for just a moment, and then from verse 2 we'll glean a couple of thoughts here. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Let me go ahead and read verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And then he'll go on in verse 3, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But he enumerates a number of things here for us to give thought and consideration to. And that is, we have a lowliness within our hearts, within our minds. It is the idea that we have a deep sense of insignificance when it comes to ourselves in relation to others. It isn't that we have a sense of insignificance in our own eyes about our relationship to God. It isn't that that insignificance is somehow the idea of devaluing who you are as a person, as a child of God. But what it does help us to do is take all of that growth that comes from getting into the Word and making the Word a part of our lives, taking that and building ourselves in such a way that as we interact with others, there isn't a sense of haughtiness. There isn't a sense of superiority, but rather a lowliness that accepts and recognizes the value of others within the congregation. And again, remember what we're talking about in today's lesson. And then next month we'll have some other things to say, and Lord willing, the next month, etc. Is that as we work together as a congregation, that we as individuals have that idea that really indeed, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are first within our lives. Our brethren are next within our lives. That would include our family, etc. And then we ourselves are third within that relationship. It's the idea, Paul tells us, of not elevating ourselves above others. He talked also about the idea of gentleness. And the gentleness is certainly the idea of opposition to self-assertion. It is opposite to the idea of that which is of self-interest. Now, I'm using both of those expressions in the negative, because I have a self-interest in what is right in God's eyes. We have a self-interest in what God wants of us, and a self-assertiveness of what's involved in our walking in the light. But we have to learn a balance within our lives when it comes to our attitude toward God and our attitude toward others. In the passage, we also read about the idea of a long suffering, a self-restraint that we put upon ourselves as we interact with each other. Because sometimes we'll let that idea of a self-restraint get out of control, and then pretty soon we're finding that we don't have any room for others to do anything because we're absorbed in the things ourselves that are important, and we think it should be important for everybody. So we learn to have that sense of long-suffering. And then the other point that he's making here is the idea of a forbearance. Patience. Patience with one another. Many congregations have been torn apart because individuals in the congregation don't accept and understand the role of a patient relationship and forbearance with others. And it just begins to tear at each other. We don't have that now, and we don't want it in 2021. So we want to strive to have that sense of forbearance within our lives. What we're going to find ultimately is that with these attitudes, we're going to make sure that that maturing is at a rate that is acceptable before God and beneficial to those around us. Let's read verse 3. I mentioned it a moment ago. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What we're talking about here is the idea that one of the things that should be in the minds of each and every one of us in 2021 is that we make sure that we're wanting to be at peace within the congregation. We're wanting to be at peace with one another. By no means are we talking about the idea of compromising truth here. I would hope that we understand that, but in case we don't, I'll just go ahead and say it. We're talking about how we deal with each other, even in critical matters, even in spiritual matters that have a right and wrong answer. We still find ourselves doing so in a good order, in a harmony with others, creating an atmosphere of peace. And in doing that, what we're going to recognize is that we're going to bring about that agape, that love within the congregation, that love for one another. The idea of love has a couple of things going for it nowadays. One is the American love. The American love, and maybe it's even around the world, is this sentimentalism, this sense that it's more important that I have an emotional relationship with someone than for someone to truly be doing that which is right in God's eyes. If you'll recall, when the Supreme Court went ahead and sent us on the way to Sodom and Gomorrah over their rulings with regard to homosexuality and marriage, one of the things that the world around us was out there saying is, love won. W-O-N. Love won. Not the agape love of God. Not the agape love in the Word about relationships and what is right in God's eyes. What they were doing was setting aside what the Word of God says and going with the emotional idea that others had to define what was right in the eyes of this country and in the eyes of our laws. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about that love that is biblically based. That love that is about goodwill in action. Take a moment and open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Obviously, anytime we want to talk about love, we've got to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 7 just very briefly to help us kind of center back in on what that biblical love is about, as emotion, as opposed to the emotional, sentimental love that our society is wanting to have as an answer for what is authority in the eyes of God. Beginning at 4 and reading through 7, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We're called upon here to have a love for each other that allows us as children of God to grow closer and closer to each other because we are sharing God's Word and God's definition of truth within our lives. When you look at those verses, you kind of want to look at them in relation to what's before and what's after. There in the 12th chapter in verse 31, this is the New King James, "But earnestly desire the good gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." What he brought this love, this definition of love, what he brought it into was an atmosphere of divisiveness around the spiritual gifts. Now, we don't have the spiritual gifts today, but congregations are still in danger of tearing themselves apart because of the individual and what the individual might desire and what other individuals might desire that are in opposition to each other. And so the Apostle Paul brings in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, 4 through 7, to help us understand how love interacts as we interact with each other. And therefore, we're not going to be violating the principles of love there. And then in chapter 14 and verse 1, we are to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. The second part of that is about those spiritual gifts he'd been talking about there in chapter 12. The point that we want to note here is, as he begins what we call the 14th chapter, is the encouragement each and every one of us need to be pursuing love in our relationship with each other in 2021. In doing so, we're going to understand the context. And as a result, we'll recognize that if we fail to do so, then we're going to fail improperly having love within our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's read together there in James, the third chapter. James says, beginning at verse 14 from the New King James, "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast or lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Ultimately, as we begin this journey through 2021, seeking to grow spiritually as a congregation, we find here that we are after the things that are talked about. We want to avoid the envy and the self-seeking. We want the idea of what he presents later in that reading: the peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, the good fruits, having no partiality, and certainly without hypocrisy. And so we will seek that within our lives, that we might have the proper love for one another. I'm sorry the lesson seemed rather disjointed this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. It usually goes a lot smoother than that. But I hope you still got the message that our desire here is to have spiritual growth this year and to do things that help us grow spiritually. And of course, ultimately what we're wanting is to see the results of that spiritual growth. The results of that spiritual growth with us as individuals, and perhaps even numeric growth as well. Although we're certainly not looking for numbers to justify or prove anything that's right in the eyes of God, but simply as a result of each and every one of us growing more and more in that spiritual sense. And again, the Lord willing, once a month during the next year, during this year, we're going to have things that relate to this idea of spiritual growth as a congregation. We're going to offer an invitation at this time. John makes the point there in John, First John, the first chapter, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There may be some in the audience this morning that are not aware of just what's involved in the sense of walking in the light. The sense of walking in the light is the idea of walking in the ways that God wants us to walk, doing what is right in the eyes of God, coming to Christ. In order to come to Christ, as we mentioned in Bible class this morning, it's not simply the idea of saying, well, I believe, and as a result of saying I believe, then we know that we're now in Christ. The New Testament tells us rather plainly that coming to the light requires that we turn away from walking in darkness. Coming to the light requires, and that's what repentance is about, coming to the light requires that we confess Christ is the Son of God. And coming to the light requires that we enter the light. And the way we enter the light is based upon that faith, that repentance, that confession. We die with Him in baptism. We rise, having come out of darkness, into the light of Jesus Christ. There may be some in the audience this morning that have not yet done that. And we would hope that you would recognize that as long as you're walking in darkness, you're in danger of eternal damnation. Until we leave that darkness and come to the light of Christ, we would hope that you would contemplate where you are this morning. And if you have the knowledge to come to the light of Christ and the desire to do so, we would hope that you would come and confess your belief in Christ as the Son of God and let us witness your dying with Christ in baptism even this day. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.